Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds. And Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be honored and glorified, highly exalted, Lord, in our lives, and that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us to be the witnesses that you've called us to be and created us to be, beginning in our own families first, and then to our church family, and ultimately, Lord, to the whole world. Bless the service tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, can you guess? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And basically, let me ask you this question. First of all, who is the Apostle Paul speaking to? Is he talking to the world? Or is he talking to the child of God? He's talking to the child of God. Only the redeemed children of God who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that's all the saved, are able to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. But we want to stop and think about, well, what does it mean to be acceptable to the Lord? What does that mean? And that has the idea of the child of God proving through their life, or the Bible puts it, by the way that we walk in the world, our manner of conversation, the way that we conduct our lives, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is proving God, what is acceptable unto the Lord, because the Lord has laid out everything in His Word that is acceptable. Now, you and I do not need to try to fulfill, in fact, that would not be the right thing to do, to try to, by our own strength and by our own effort, right? It's wouldn't be advantageous for us to try to fulfill what is acceptable to the Lord in our strength. But what He's wanting us to do is to believe that He can do that for us, through us, by His Holy Spirit that He indwelt us with. So that is the key ingredient right there to understand, to proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. It has to do with our manner of life, the way that we live. The Bible puts it, and we'll see it here in just a moment, how we walk in this world. And I would like to challenge you to do something here. Sometime this week, either listen to or read Ephesians chapter 5 that we're in tonight, in looking at tonight, and see what God will reveal to you by His Holy Spirit. We're going to look at a specific angle of the Word of God here tonight. But I think if you'll go back and look at it with some of those things in mind, God will illuminate other truth. God will open up other things that will bring comfort and joy into our lives. And so there's so many things here, not going to be able to cover all of them. But we're going to look at three thoughts tonight very briefly here. And if we're not able to finish it, well, you'll be able to finish it at home, all right? So here it is, ready? Verses 1 through 7 deal with walking in love. Remember, the way that we walk in the world, or our manner of lifestyle. Verses 8 through 14 has to do with walking as children of light. And then the last part, if we get to it, verses 15 and 17 through 17, is walking circumspectly. So these are all, when the Bible, and specifically in this chapter, when it's talking about walking, it's talking about the way that we live. The way that we conduct ourselves, whether or not we're being empowered by the grace of God or whether we're doing it in our own strength. Do you know what I find happens? If I'm in a hurry, I'm going to do it in my own strength. I've got things to do. You don't understand. We got to get these things done. And I'm going to be up and running in my own strength. But if I say, wait a minute, I need to stop and talk to the Lord. We call that praying. I need to stop and hear from God, opening up the Word of God. Amen? And allowing the Lord to speak to me. That's the battle, really. The battle is
all these different things that pull on us that we think we need to take care of. And we do. The Lord doesn't want us to be negligent. He just doesn't want us. He doesn't want us to be negligent specifically of our relationship with Him. He wants us to take care of all these things, and they can be done if we'll put Him first, and the world doesn't understand that, and they can't, because that's the natural realm. That's where we were before salvation. But now that we're saved, God says, you can live by a different order, and that is keeping God first and watching what He can do. So that's the challenge tonight. So let's look at the first idea here of walking in love. Look at verse 1 concerning proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That's a good thing. So how do we listen? He's speaking to believers. Believers ought to just automatically. I mean, my goodness, when you get saved, you don't have any more problems. Right? And every Christian said, ha ha, right? Okay, so here's the thing. So that means because you're a Christian, you ought to just know how to walk in this world. You ought to know how to be followers of God as dear children. No, God is giving that to the children of God because we need to understand how this takes place and what that's all about. So I believe it's in the heart. I believe Peter wanted to be a follower of God even when he denied the Lord. The problem that Peter was having was he just thought he could do it on his own and in his own strength. And that's all of our problems. We will always make that mistake. In fact, if you read carefully the Apostle Paul's writing, Paul says, I have learned to do these things, to be patient, to be all these things. So Paul himself had to learn. There was a place in Paul's life where he made this decision. All that I could do in my own strength, I threw it in the dung heap. And all the things that God was giving to me, those were the things that I began to cherish. And so it is a learned thing. So notice this. He says in verse 2, and as you're being followers as dear children, he says, and walk in love. That's where we got the point there for our first point. And walk in love. Well, how do we do that? As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So what does that mean when God says walk in love as Christ also hath loved us? Well, what that means is you need to look at the pastor or you need to look at your fellow brother or sister in Christ and scrutinize whether or not they're walking in love. And if they're not, just point at them and say, aha, see, I don't have to do it either. No, that's not what we do. So God wants us to look at who? Our neighbor, our believer, our brother and sister in Christ? Or should we look at ourselves? God wants us to look at ourselves and to examine how are we walking, because you and myself, right, we are the only ones that can bring our lives before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to have your will. And I do. Listen, do you know having the love of God is better than the love of the world? The love of the world is conditional, is it not? I love you as long as, and you can fill in the blank, right? But God says, I love you and I will never cast you out. Now, if that's God's kind of love, God says, that's the kind of love I want in you. Well, how can God do that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And what we need to be reminded of, first of all, remember we talked about all these things in this world that are pulling on us that have to be taken care of. We have to do this, we have to do that, and they should be taken care of, no doubt. But here's the thing. In 100 years, what will be more important, those things or our relationship with the Lord? See, all those other things, they're going to pass away. And so it's important. Listen, I promise you, I'm sure there are a lot of appointments, a lot of responsibilities, a lot of duties, a lot of chores, a lot of different things that have to be taken care of. But I promise you, if in 100 years from now, as we stare into the face of our Savior, it'll be Jesus that will matter. Amen? And so we need to have the right perspective. But listen, we can't do that in our own. That's a faith thing. In other words, Lord, I'm going to trust you in that. I'm going to give myself an extra 5 minutes and let it grow from there, however God leads. But I'm going to wake up an extra 5 minutes early that I might make sure I spend that time in word, in God's word, and in prayer. All right? So notice this. So he says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. To who? To who? To God. So who are we giving ourselves over to? You know, did God, you know, I wonder, do you think God knew who the people were going to be in your life and my life that were going to be unlovable? Do you think God knew, or did he, oh my goodness, I didn't see them coming? No, he knew exactly. And you know what God says? I want you to love them too. Isn't that amazing? Now, I can't do that in my own strength, but here's how I can do it. Ready? Lord, who am I that you died for me and that you love me unconditionally? And you know the Holy Spirit, in fact, the Holy Spirit moves when we speak like that. That's praise. We're taking a moment to praise the love of God. And when we step in the praise of God, we step into the love of God by the Holy Spirit. And when that connection rings so true, really, who is there? I mean, what's, listen, it honors God for us to love the unlovable. And when they are loved genuinely, not because we have to, but because we get a little glimpse of what God did for us and who we are to the Lord and how he's given to us an opportunity to love the unlovable. Do you know, listen, there are things in this world today, there are people involved in things today that God calls an abomination. Do you believe that? But also, at the same time, those are ones for whom Christ died for. They may never come to Christ, but may the way be opened to them, to Christ, not to accepting what they're doing, but to loving them. In other words, we have no animosity. We have no ill will. We don't have any hard feelings toward. We can genuinely treat them like a decent human being, even though they may not be. They don't deserve it, do they? But we don't either. And God has given that to us. So see, when we can allow God to give us the right perspective, then we can say, oh, yeah. Then the Holy Spirit starts to move and says, I can love them for you, and it'll be real. I can guide you as to how you are to treat them in Christian love. And not condoning or accepting what they're doing, but at least them not being able to point a finger and saying, that's why I'm not a Christian, or would never be, right? Notice this, verse 3, but he says this, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it be not once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. I mean, it could start there and go on. Lord, you saved me. Thank you, God. You blessed me with the health. Today, this day, we take health for granted sometimes, don't we? Until we lose it. And then it kind of gets our attention again. But thank the Lord for the health that we have. And listen, for the future, we all deal with different health issues, do we not, to one degree or another? Even the youth do. They get hurt too. But one day, there's coming a day, praise God, where there'll be no health issues at all. Wow, that'll be something. We praise the Lord for that. So see, we can just start right there and go on. Then notice this here. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now that's not talking about a work salvation. What he's saying is, because of the Spirit of God leads us away from all of these things. And if he's not, then we're not allowing him to work. There is something that is hindering. If you're saved and you know that you're saved and God is not having his will or way with you, then there is something that is interfering with the work of the Holy Spirit. Because God, listen, has God indwelt the child of God with the Holy Spirit at salvation? Did God do that? Why? Why? To empower our lives, to be the witnesses of the grace of God. And so if that's not working, we need to ask ourselves, why is this not working? Where is the problem? And God will show us where the problem is at if we ask him. Lord, what is the problem? What is the problem? And we'll find this, we're making too big of something. We have put something in the place of God. It could be some of the craziest things that we can put in. I heard a testimony of a believer that was in ministry, and he was having this battle with the Lord because he wanted to marry this girl that wanted nothing to do with Christ. And he said, "Lord, I would go to the far ends of the world to be a missionary for you if you'll just let me have this wife." And he said that. He said the answer kept coming back. No, no, she has no part. She wants no part with Christianity. He was struggling with that until he finally said, "Okay, Lord, I'll trust you. I'll leave her alone." And do you know? He said there was a peace, there was a joy that entered in. He was no more saved than he was a moment ago. But all of a sudden, the things started coming into place for him. He was a young graduate of seminary school, getting ready to go out on the field. And then the Lord started to work, and he started to sense the Holy Spirit. And he got to rejoicing in the Lord and watching the Lord work and bless. And he felt the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. And you know what? God brought him along, Mrs. Wright. Amen? God gave him the desires of his heart. What happens is we think, we buy the lie of the devil. God's holding out on you. God doesn't want you to have any fun. Can't you hear old Satan saying that? Because if God really loved you, he'd let you eat of that tree in the garden there that he said not to. Right? He lied to Eve. You think he might lie to another believer, another child of God? Absolutely. He will. And so there are things that God doesn't want in our lives. Then notice this here in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Oh, you can do it and have fun. Whatever it might be. But if it's hindering you from the Lord, if you ask God, he'll show you. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. He says this in verse 8. And listen to this. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. He says this. Walk as children of light. You know what he's saying? Live as children of light. He's not telling us to do that in our strength, in our power. He's saying because you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you can live. In fact, you know what? Listen. Watch this. Let me just read this one part here to you here. For the fruit of the Spirit, in verse 9, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Did you see that? If we're going to walk in the light, he's telling us how to do that. It's in the Spirit. That's where the fruit is born. And in case you want to see the connection of the Spirit here, chapters they came in later, right? In verses. But let's put the whole thing into perspective, and notice what he's saying right here. He says this in verse 30 of chapter 4, just previous to this, he says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So the Holy Spirit's involved, is he not? He's letting us know it is. And the fruit of the Spirit is important. And so, again, I'm going to encourage you to go back through this and carefully just read or listen, and I like to. This is just me. You don't have to do this, and this doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I can go into the recording and slow it down from 100%, which is the normal. I slow it down to 80. That's and it sometimes sounds like this when they're speaking, but I can hear each and every word carefully. and I don't get into a rush and miss something. Now, I'm not saying that it might drive you up a wall, so if it does, don't do it that way. But to me, for whatever reason, I'm wanting to hear each word so that I might properly understand. That's just me. Everybody's a little bit different, okay? My wife tells me that all the time. You're just a little bit different. No. Verse 10, ready? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, put light on them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's what he's talking about, walking in the light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Now he's talking to believers. Why is he talking, awake, thou that sleepest? Because the work of the Holy Spirit is not taking place. And so we need to wake up to the truth that, listen, the Spirit of God has been given to us to empower our lives and to work, and that we might walk in Him. So wherefore he saith, verse 14, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And he's speaking to children of God, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. And then lastly, very quickly, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And again, I'm going to challenge you to go back and read through that. But circumspectly, circumference, that means considering everything all the way around your life concerning spiritual things. Make sure that everything around your life is coupled with the grace and Spirit of God. Amen? And that's how, by our lives being yielded to the Holy Spirit, we can't do it, but the Spirit of God in us will prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the understanding and the wisdom that it brings to our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that you would just move our hearts and minds to be completely yielded, Lord, and trusting you and the work of your Holy Spirit, that we would not fear the direction that he might want to lead us in, but that we would, by faith or by knowing that we can trust you 100%, put our hand in his, so to speak, and follow you, Lord. Wherever the path may lead, may we be able to boldly say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, that's where I want to go in my daily life and my daily walk with you. Bless, Lord, the rest of the time together as we break off for prayer and the rest of the week. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.